Hola a todos y bienvenidos. Hoy tenemos un episodio súper especial con dos chicas que yo conocí en Guatemala, que es Sofía y Elena. Ellas son de Canadá. Este episodio está en inglés y voy a tratar de ponerle los subtítulos en español para el video en YouTube. Pero si hablas inglés, puedes escucharlo aquí en Spotify o en iTunes. So, let's begin. Hi, Sofía. Hi, Elena. Thank you so much for being here.
Hello, hi. Salma. Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much. We're honored to be here today.
So, well, I met you guys in Guatemala, and since you have that small talk with us, I cannot stop thinking about it. So before we dive into that, maybe you could talk a little bit about who you are and how you came to live in Guatemala.
Good story. Elena, do you want to start this one?
Sure. I'll jump in. So I'm actually a self-love and relationship coach, and I can confidently say that my journey with travel and just the time that I did spend in Guatemala before I officially moved here and just exploring other parts of the world was just such a pivotal season of my life in terms of developing my confidence, a deeper understanding of myself. And it came at the tail end of a breakup. So I within my story, one of my biggest catalysts for growth and transformation and really my biggest initiation into leadership was heartbreak. And I think that's a common experience for a lot of women. And I was moving through a season of feeling like I lost complete sense of connection to myself, my self-confidence, my identity as a woman, and really what I wanted for my life and the path that I was carving. And travel for me was sort of that moment of reconnecting with that, kind of peeling back the layers of who I thought I was and where I came from, getting beyond the expectations of all of that, the people closest to me, the experiences that I've had in my past, to really cultivate a new sense of self-identity and pathway moving forward that felt truly authentic. Like, it is one of the biggest growth journeys I think any one of us can take, to solo travel. And Guatemala was a place that I had the privilege of visiting the time that I was on what was like a 5 to 6 month backpacking journey. And I had only been here for 2 weeks. Sophia was here. She was like, you have to come see this place. She had no idea what to expect coming here either. Like, it was kind of like the most perfect accident. We kind of just stumbled our way into Guatemala. I came to visit her for her birthday, and I was traveling through while on my way to Costa Rica. And when I got here, there was just this sense of like magic in the air, like this deep, deep, deep connection to my heart. I felt it in the community. I felt it in the culture. I felt it in the way of life. I felt so grounded and present here too, where 2 weeks felt like 2 months. I felt like I had lived an entire lifetime here, and I had been here for such a short period of time. Mm-hmm. And most of my experience was just in Antigua. So coming here through the connections that I made, the community that I was introduced to, I just knew there was more for me. I knew there was a period of my life that I wanted to really explore more of what this country had to offer and get to know myself better in this space. And so I always had the intention of coming back here, of even moving here for a season of life. I didn't know when or how long. I just kind of trusted that when I got the hit, it's not a logical, decision that I made. There was no really like logical, rational explanation behind it. It was just this desire that I felt in my heart and my willingness to trust that, and to trust that it would become very clear to me when the timing was right. And so we both took the leap back in August, the end of August, to officially move here, become completely nomadic, take our businesses with us globally and continue to work online. And also, I think just carve more of an authentic pathway for our lives. So
totally. Yeah.
So loved your story about everything. I've never been to Guatemala. And when I went, I kept saying to everyone, like, I feel so familiar to it. Like, it was my first time, but it didn't feel like the first time. And yeah, breakups usually shake us to self-discovery.
Yeah, they're like one of the greatest catalysts for growth and understanding yourself on a deeper level. I think it's a massive initiation that every woman and every person goes through at some point in their life. And it's really an opportunity to cultivate, I think, a deeper relationship with yourself and what it is that you truly want moving forward. So it's been a huge part of my journey. And that's also part of the reason why I'm so passionate about helping women use their relationships as a way to grow into stronger, more whole, integrated, and loving versions of themselves, because they are truly our greatest teachers.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. And Sophia, tell us a little bit about yourself. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. So I'm a mindset, empowerment, and business coach for women. I run a business called, the name is called The Mind Palace, and it really started as this passion project because I was always very interested in learning about the mind and how we can take a vision and make it into a reality. And eventually decided to monetize that passion project, start offering coaching services, and it slowly but surely merged with my passion for entrepreneurship, which is all about helping people really uncover those hidden gems within themselves and be able to understand their natural gifts, their passions, their life experiences, and know how to package it in a way so that it can serve others. So I work in the space of branding, offer creation, sales, and really just work with service-based businesses run by women. Anyone who wants to promote their business online, those are the women that I work with. Elena covered a bit of the journey to Guatemala. It definitely, for me, also big reason that I went to travel was because of a heartbreak. It was a huge catalyst. I was also just graduating university, kind of in this in-between space of like all of these things falling away from my life and me wanting to understand myself and just essentially take 6 months to just live and explore. And so we went to Central America, and I really just came to Guatemala to meet a friend who had been living here for like over a year at that point. And I knew nothing about Guatemala. Like, okay, it's there, it's close, it's on the way, you know, down to Costa Rica. Might as well check it out. And within 2 weeks of being here, I mean, I was in love. I was supposed to stay for 2 weeks only, and I ended up staying for 6 weeks. I adopted a cat off the streets of Guatemala. I met like the most insane community of women. I mean, and it's such a tight-knit community here. And it basically just got sucked into the Mayan vortex like that exists here in Guatemala, and kept coming back, like took a few more trips and decided, yeah, this is the place that I want to live for this chapter of my life. So here we are.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was like your breakup became like a blessing to all of us. Because we really don't know the ripple effect we can have on people. And probably you never imagined that you would be talking to a group of mompreneurs about your dad, who's been, well, your dad and your uncle, because you're cousins, yes, about their experience, his experience in network marketing and how it has changed your life. And probably he didn't have any idea when he started it. Well, you're going to tell his story, but he probably, when he started 30 years ago, he never thought he would be influencing about a bunch of Latinas, entrepreneurs.
Totally.
like when he started, yeah, I'm going to influence a lot of people. I probably, this demographic was not on his radar.
100%.
And yeah, it's so impressive. So yeah, tell us about... Because that's why we met you. Like, for those, yes, who don't know, we met you because Sandra, my mentor, met them in Guatemala. She lives in Guatemala and said, yeah, we have this event. They need to talk because his dad and her dad, sorry, and an uncle was in network marketing for 30 years and it really, yes, shaped them and had this amazing effect. And... yeah, well, tell us a little bit about that. So they talk and we fell in love.
Yes.
Yeah. So yeah, I'll share a little bit of what we shared at that event for anyone who wasn't there. But me and Elena both feel extremely blessed because of the family we grew up in, the environment that was created for us, and really the beliefs, the belief systems that were passed down to us. So my dad, he got started in his network marketing career at 27. Before this, he was an electrician. And I think he always just had that ambition and that entrepreneurial spark. And really, as soon as he saw the effects that the products could have on his life, he knew that there was an opportunity there. As soon as he saw the effects that the products were having on other people, he knew there was an opportunity there. And he did something that most network marketers don't do, which is he went to the most influential person he could think of. That was the first person he called. He called like the wealthiest, most successful man that he knew, not super close. Like they weren't besties or anything. It was just someone he had been introduced to. And he called him up and he said, "Hey, I think I have something that you should see." And that was kind of the start of his business. I think that set him off on a great foot because he knew, he was like, if I'm really going to do this business right, I need to find people who know how to build a business. And that's the entrepreneurial way of thinking. You think in terms of leverage, right? I don't need to know it all by myself. If I can find somebody who knows how to do it, then I'm going to have a much easier time getting where I want to go. And it's going to be a lot faster.
Exactly.
Within 3 years, he made his first $1 million and really like set the foundations for a lifelong legacy. He has been with the same company now for 30 years, which is insane. And through his, you know, building his business and his network, he's gotten to speak on stages all over the world, truly like do what he loves for a living. Like I have always seen my dad, you know, most people always complain about their work. Growing up, I always just heard him bragging about it. And he would always come back from events and tell me about the stories that people were sharing and read me messages from people who are thanking him for what he had to say and the way that he had impacted them. Obviously, financially, he was, you know, very successful. And I got to see him. I mean, he worked hard, but he created his own schedule, you know, and he never missed any of my like very significant life events. He never had to commute to work in the morning. Like I really saw him live this life of freedom and be able to give so generously to, our family. We got to experience that firsthand. And then just like to others, to random strangers, it was amazing to see that. And like, once you see that example set for you, I could never picture myself in like a traditional job. Like that was just not an option for me. You know, I had to have the freedom my dad had. I had to be able to have the impact that he had. I had to be able to have the financial success, but also the like time, like without trading my time for it. And growing up your whole life seeing that, it's not like you question whether it's possible.
Right.
You're just like, this is the only way, right? You know? And so totally shifted like the trajectory of my life because I mean, I really don't know what I would be doing if it wasn't for him. And I know Elena can probably say the same thing for herself.
Yeah, I think that's what's so interesting too, was he not only became a leader inside of his business and his network, but he really did become a leader inside of our family. You know, I think it's really powerful to think about the fact that he not only shaped the mindset and the development of his children, but our entire family and extended network, because the common topics of conversation at the dinner table was about the power of the mind. And you know, my uncle really, in many, many ways, to the point where sometimes it could feel very like just annoying at times to just constantly be challenged by somebody who wants to see you go farther, grow farther. Mm-hmm. And he really,
he didn't miss an opportunity.
No, to mentor, to teach, to give us a nugget of wisdom, to like expand our mind in terms of what we believe to be possible. And that was the thing, is he really taught us how to dream bigger, how to dream unconventionally, how to not settle for what's just being handed to you or what's been done before, but to really have the confidence, the courage, and the capacity to carve a unique path for yourself in this life, whether that's through entrepreneurship. You know, like Sophia said, he modeled a pathway that was really rooted in freedom and generosity and his capacity to have an impact in a way that felt true and authentic for him. And that to me was something that I really aspired towards and admired in what he did. And so he really shaped the mindset and the conviction that we have as a family when it comes to dreaming and also turning those dreams into reality. Every single one of us, I have two brothers, Sophia has a sister and a younger brother. Our entire family has chosen unconventional paths for our lives in terms of the work that we do, the way that we live, the countries that we live in, the relationships and the company that we keep, because of the decision that he made to invest in himself and his future and his business and to grow himself as a leader from the inside out.
Let's break it down. Number one, like, how would you compare and contrast, like, for example, growing up with your dad or your uncle versus what you saw in school with other parents with more conventional type of work?
Right.
Type of jobs. So
it's interesting for me because I actually have a business degree. So I studied 6 years within university. I completed my entire degree. I have a background in medical sciences and business. And I didn't actually learn about what it is like to have and run a business until I stepped into the entrepreneurial path and I decided to start a business of my own. And I genuinely believe we were so blessed to be given this perspective and the example that my uncle set from the beginning, because when you go to school, you are taught how to become an employee. You are taught how to fall in line. Even when you start to search for jobs and you actually take on a more formal position in society as an employee, the moment you receive a paycheck, you've created the condition that the way in which you make money, the way in which you have an impact is by trading your time. And then you start to look for security in that. And there is absolutely nothing that is secure or certain about the entrepreneurial pathway. It's a pathway of risk. It requires great courage. It requires your capacity to work within the uncertainty and the unknown, but it's also so rewarding. And I don't believe that we would necessarily have the belief in ourselves and the courage to go for it if we didn't have that model laid out for us. It would be really easy to just fall into the same patterns of our world and really the limitations that exist when it comes to how you can work and how you can build a life for yourself.
Yeah. I think for me, the greatest evidence, because of course, you know, growing up and going through like the school system, having friends who maybe had parents who, you know, worked a 9-to-5, who had more constraints on their time. Like they weren't taking their kids for, you know, luxurious vacations over March break, like I was getting. So of course you could see little differences there, but I think the biggest place where you see the difference is when you look at current day, right? Like me and Ellen are here, doing some crazy stuff in our life.
Yeah.
Like just taking life by the cojones basically and saying like, we're going to make this exactly what we want. We take bold leaps of faith. We're living in Guatemala. We are building businesses that are very unconventional, but very true for who we are. It's our life's mission. You know, we're doing exactly what we love, exactly what we want to do. I know Elena can probably answer the same way I will when I say, like, I look at the people I went to school with growing up and I don't see any of them living like this.
Right.
They're like having more conventional jobs, probably living in the same city they grew up.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that at all. That's some people's path. But if the person listening to this, if you have that spark of desire in you and that call for something different than maybe you've seen before or like just not the normal, you have to know that it's possible, and that a big part of that is who you surround yourself with, the community that you put yourself in.
And that's the other thing too, is we don't grow up being asked the right questions. Like most of us start to enter into this pathway with the education system thinking that like, once I run this course and I get my degree and I start to get generate an income for myself, I become employed, this, that, and the next, that everything I want is going to fall into place. And then you realize that you've been walking a pathway that you don't actually even necessarily want for yourself. And then you don't even know that alternatives exist. So we haven't been asked the right questions. Most of us have spent our whole lives being asked, what do you want to do for a living? My uncle was the first one who ever asked me the question, how do you want to live? And then reverse engineer that question to start to, you know, create the systems, the structures, the pathway that's actually in alignment with your values and what it is that you truly desire for yourself. I don't think,
yeah,
I think majority of people haven't even stopped to ask themselves that question, who they are and what they actually want.
Totally. I mean, even all the time we're meeting people who are traveling and they're like, so what do you do? And we tell them and they're like, wow, like you're so lucky. And I'm like, girl, like it's not luck. Like I just decided that this is what I was, my life was going to be, and I am making it happen, and you could do it too. Like it's
right.
It's a decision. And so, yeah, it's interesting to see like how somebody's mindset creates so many limitations for them about what's actually possible. And we had those pathways of possibility just blasted open from birth.
Right. it's like the difference between seeing this is how the world works. This is what's been done. These are the systems and the structures that exist. Now find your place in it. Where do you want to fit in? Versus what is the kind of world that you actually want to see exist? Now go do your part in building it. Be the example of it. Be the embodiment of it. That's the pathway that we've really chosen, which would not be possible if it wasn't for my uncle's influence.
Yeah. And that really makes me question, because I don't know if you know how family works. This is like my other question. Like, how did your uncle influence you? Like, I understand a parent, that usually you have like this direct relationship, like, well, this is my parent, this is my dad, I need to listen to what he says. But in Latino countries, we have very close extended families. Mm-hmm. And usually everyone is meddling in each one. But right now we have this thing about you cannot meddle in the parenting of anyone else. So I'm really curious to understand how your uncle did that. You know, how can you actually see him as a father figure, but you still have your mom and your dad? Like, yeah. How did that work as a family dynamic?
Yeah. Well, I will say, first and foremost, family is a really strong core value for all of us. We come from a very traditional Italian background, and, you know, Sunday family dinners was kind of like the normal experience, creating those moments of intimacy and connection as much as we possibly can. You know, even the simple fact that Sophia and I are living in Guatemala right now has created so much friction within our relationships with our parents, because they're like, you're far away and I don't want you living in another country. Like, I want you close. But there's a lot of value.
They didn't
that.
Know what they were doing when they were raising us. Yeah. Like, your dreams. Like, you can do anything. And now we're like, we're doing anything.
Yeah, they're like, come back.
But not that.
So, you know, it definitely doesn't come without its challenges and, you know, its own unique obstacles and sticky areas to navigate. But I think the biggest thing with my uncle was, when you start to develop yourself as an individual, because I've experienced this on my own, the moment you start to be the kind of person who's devoted to their own growth, development, and healing, improving your mindset, improving who you are as a human being, you can't help but pour that into the people around you. Like, you can't help but want to share that. You can't help but want to have an influence on especially the people closest to you. So I think for him, it was like, to hold back and to not be a part of our lives in that way, knowing that he knew better, knowing that there was so much more that was available to us than what maybe the average experience would be, the common experience would be. It was like, to not share that would be doing a disservice for all of us. Like, it would hurt him to not share the wisdom that he had to share, to not share the experiences and the belief systems and the perspectives that he had. So I think it was such a natural experience. And like I said, like, we spent Christmases together, Thanksgiving, you know, Sunday family dinners and lunches. It's like every time we're seated at a dinner table, there's a story to share. There's a lesson to share. And experiencing that from such a young age, you can't help but be open to it. Yeah. And again, it doesn't come without its own, you know, challenges. And there are moments where we push back and there's friction and it's like, well, I don't really want to learn a lesson right now. Like, I don't need your input. I don't need your advice. But at the same time, you know.
Or even moments where Elena, maybe even your parents were like, all right, Mike.
Enough.
Like,
yeah.
Enough, you know.
Right.
But
again, that core value of like family and staying connected and close to one another. Like, I think it is truly a blessing to know that we come from a family where I don't think there's anything that we wouldn't be able to navigate together, as challenging as it may be. It's like we are all devoted to coming back to love and connection with each other, even when it hurts. And so that, I think, has held us so strongly through like all of these experiences, where the idea that like my uncle is like influencing me and, you know, maybe crossing boundaries is really not, hasn't been the biggest problem growing up for us.
Okay. Yeah, that's really good to know, because like right now I used to be like the kid, the child, and now I'm becoming like the parent. You know, I have a son and I have nephews and nieces, and you know, it's like a different dynamic. And yeah, I am changing a lot of patterns, and I am like with my group of friends and my family, the odd duckling. So learning that, you know, maybe see what happens. I do have another.
But that's leadership also, just right, to throw in there. Like, that is true leadership. It's not always going to be easy to share what you believe, but you know that in doing so, like, you're impacting the next generation.
Yeah.
And they will thank you one day for it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I also know that it's like, it's less about what you say and it's more about who you be. Like, you are the example. You are the example.
Yes.
The way that you live, the way that you walk, the way that you talk, the way that you interact with others, the way that others feel in your presence. Like, it was obvious to me that my uncle was a powerful presence for the people around him and in his world and in his community. And that in and of itself spoke volumes.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's also a different perspective, because just being you, like being the the best version of yourself is actually serving others.
100%.
Yeah. And yeah, that's a bit crazy, you know, because it really, it targets the effort towards you again. Sometimes we're pouring out instead of actually, you know, how can I be my best version, and that it's actually serving others.
Absolutely.
And I also have another question, because a lot of people, like here in Latin countries or in Dominican Republic, at least, there's like this big taboo about money, or that, you know, people who have a lot of money are not necessarily good, or they got it making maybe not good things. So, like, this question really goes down, like, how do you think, like, your dad's success help you have a different perspective about money, or maybe what's your perspective about money? And second, how did you, you know, not grow up to be a spoiled brat? Like, I was trying to think of a nicer way,
but I couldn't. Yeah, no. I mean, honestly, that's probably something you should ask our parents.
Yeah. <we're> like,
but I can like give you, I guess, my perspective on that, because first of all, I want to say money is a taboo topic everywhere. Some places more extreme than others.
Yeah.
But even within our own family, like, it's not that money was, you know, the biggest topic of conversation, but you get to you can experience the power of money without sitting down and talking about exactly how much is in the bank account.
Right.
And from my experience, like, all I ever witnessed was the more money my dad had in his possession, the more good he was able to do and the more he was able to give to people. Like, he was always the guy who like tipped 25%, always the guy who went out of his way to get people like really thoughtful and nice gifts. always the one who, like, when he was out with a bunch of friends, like, would pay for the whole dinner for everyone, you know? So I, always the one who, like, was first to give back, like, for any sort of charitable thing that, or cause that we brought to him. So yeah, for me, it was like, wow, where is the bad or where is the evil in that? And to be able to say that he made money in a way where, like, every dollar that he earned was a direct result of someone else either A, improving their health by buying a product, or right. B, making money in their business. Because especially in network marketing, what's so unique about the business model is you don't make money unless your downline makes money. So you have to take responsibility for showing other people how to become business owners. And that's what creates your success. So his success was just a direct result of other people succeeding and thriving. And, you know, it's like, it was just a win-win-win situation. Win for him, win for the people on his team and in his network, and then win for everyone who got to experience the fruits of his labor. So
yeah. Yeah,
that's always what I saw. And in terms of, like, why are we not spoiled brats? Well, first of all, we didn't have things just handed to us. Like, we all, although we're super blessed and, like, the basic necessities were always taken care of, we never had to worry about money growing up, which I know is, like, such a blessing, and not a lot of people can say that. We also weren't just, like, handed things. Like, I had to, I still did my Saturday chores for an allowance so that I would have money to go out with my friends. I started working as early as, you know, in high school and making my own money and using my own money to pay for, like, you know, I remember my first trip that I took with my girlfriends, like, I paid for that myself.
Yeah.
So, like, we were always encouraged to still, anything that wasn't a necessity, like, we were encouraged to pay for that as early as we could, you know, like,
right,
as early as, like, 15, 16, maybe even younger.
Right.
So, and I think that we also just, like, gratitude, you know, like, gratitude was a big theme. And it's a huge theme in our family as well. We don't take anything for granted.
Yeah.
And everything is seen as just, like, a blessing. And I think, I mean, this is when the whole spiritual aspect kind of comes into it too.
It's the belief system. Mm-hmm. The belief system. Again, it's like what Sophia said, like, money was not the topic of conversation at the dinner table. Beliefs were, values were, it was the values that were demonstrated that were responsible for shaping the relationship that we have with money today. One of the biggest ones, I think, was the desire to be of service. Like, everything my uncle did, and this is also true with my parents as well. You know, my dad does have more of a traditional job. He's a chartered accountant. So he works in a very different way than my uncle did. He demonstrated a very different pathway when it comes to making money. And he is one of the most generous individuals that I know. Like, he will give the shirt off his back for somebody who needs it. And it's like when you're working from that place of service and that question and that perspective of how can I give, you naturally become a conduit for resources. You naturally become a conduit for the wealth that you do have. And it's like Sophia said, every dollar that was made within network marketing, which we had the privilege of experiencing firsthand when we had our business with Niken, every dollar you make is tied to either improving somebody's well-being, health and well-being, or developing them as a leader and allowing them the opportunity to become a better version of themselves. So it reshaped the relationship based on the values that we hold, like being service-oriented, being generous, you know, being focused on the relationships to the people that are closest to us. And you spend your money where your values are.
Okay, yeah. So maybe, like, the conversations were turned about how would be about how he was changing lives, and the more lives he changed, the more wealthy he would become, maybe. So
yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
It is a different.
He taught us that money is not, money doesn't have to be equal to the time that you exchange. Money is equal to the value that you provide.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. If you're listening to this, for whoever who's listening to this, let's digest that, because usually, like, we're raised to be think of time and money and not value and money.
Yeah. Right.
And we have very little time left, but I do have one to address, because we've been talking about your dad, Sofia, but Elena told us in that talk that her mom did for a brief time network marketing and didn't succeed, or maybe not didn't succeed. Tell us what happened.
Yeah.
Tell us what happened.
You know, I think success and failure are just concepts related entirely to our attitude. It's not that my mom didn't succeed. It's just that she didn't go both feet in. She didn't allow herself to really pursue it. Because I believe that if she did, she would have been incredible at it. My mom cares so much about people. It's just innate. It's who she is. She wants to help people feel good and become better versions of themselves. And at the time that she was in the network marketing business, she was working with my uncle, Sophia's dad. And people used to come up to her and tell her, like, you're better at this than him. Because she just had that way of connecting with people, of making them feel seen, of making them feel inspired and cared for. It's a different quality of leadership altogether. And I know my mom is the kind of person who is so incredibly passionate. She is so creative. She has that desire to contribute in a bigger way. And she hasn't allowed herself to fully tap into that expression in this life. I know one of the biggest reasons is because at the time that she started her business, she was also a mother. And again, we come from a very traditional Italian background where your role as a woman is to raise the family, like to stay home, to be responsible for, you know, taking care of the kids, taking care of the house. The man is the breadwinner. The man is the one who goes out and achieves and accomplishes in the world. And because of that, he's also the one who receives the admiration and the respect of the people around him. So this influenced me in a lot of ways, because for a long time, I saw my mother's role as less than. I saw it as inferior. I saw it as inadequate. And then I also saw my mom, the fire that she had for life and for just being the fullest version of herself, it slowly dwindled. It slowly burnt out. And she started to just derive all of her sense of value and worth only from being a mother, which is just not enough. And I think this is the difference between, you know, being a woman in business, being a man in business, and being able to expand what our actual model and paradigm of success and fulfillment looks like. Because it's not enough to say that if we make more money and if we achieve more, then we will be happier, that we will be fulfilled. There are so many other different elements that we need to be able to look at that are just as valuable, if not more important to us in our life, like our relationships, our capacity to have close, fulfilling connections with the people around us, our capacity to contribute in a way that feels true and meaningful for us. It may not be about making multi-millions. It may just be about knowing that you're making a difference in someone else's life. And that in and of itself offers you a deeper sense of gratitude and fulfillment than, you know, a big successful paycheck can offer. So it's understanding that there's more than just one model and paradigm of success, and that we as women really are the pioneers in building that for ourselves for the first time ever, because most of us have compared ourselves to a model of success that is essentially created and run by the man. Yeah. And it's not what is going to truly make us feel content and fulfilled in our lives. And so I saw that, I witnessed that firsthand with my mother. I have so much gratitude and appreciation and respect for her role as a woman today, because I have done so much work on healing that relationship with myself and my own womanhood. She has been the biggest example of that my entire life. And I also know that given her experience, I want to be able to move past that pattern that says, like, women shouldn't go for more, that women shouldn't allow themselves the opportunity to build a life that truly feels like their own, whatever that looks like, because it's important.
And I would like to ask you if you would, I have two questions, but I'm going to say one, and then if we have time, then we'll go to the other. Okay. But what would you say? Because I was actually having conversations. I have this conversation frequently with a lot of people I know that they really, like, they feel trapped in their jobs, but because they like to keep certain standards, or maybe they have to pay bills for things that they are not willing to sacrifice. For example, like, you know, living in a nice part of the city. So, but they feel trapped that they cannot quit, but then they also feel that they cannot be full-time parents. What would you say to those women that may be scared? And what do you think? Yeah, like, what would you say to them about that? Because I feel those conversations, and I know it's not an easy ride. It's not an easy ride, and you get weird stares from people. But then when you reach a certain level, they say, oh, you're so lucky, instead of, you can actually work for this. But as someone who have grown in a very different environment, at least that I did, even though my parents were entrepreneurs, they did connect money and time. They were self-employed, so to speak. What would you say to those women who do feel trapped in their jobs, in their roles? Yeah.
Elena, do you want to start this one off?
I have a few different thoughts about this. I think, again, this is where it becomes important for us as women to really reconnect with what is actually most important. Like, reconnect with your reason for living, like the thing that holds you, your North Compass in life. Like, what are your values? What do you truly desire for yourself? Because your desire for growth needs to outweigh your fear of discomfort if you're ever going to make a change in the direction of what it is that you truly want. There's no other way around it than moving through the discomfort. You know, getting everything you want is going to ask you to give up whatever is not truly aligned to that, which may mean walking away from the relationship that's no longer serving you, walking away from the job that's holding you back from fully expressing who you are in this life. But how bad do you want it? Because life is hard either way. It's hard being in a position in a job where you feel trapped and like spiritually empty, and like your life force and your love for life is just like fading. That's hard. That's painful.
Yeah.
It is also very hard to go after your dreams. It is hard to choose an unconventional path. It is hard to build a life for yourself that feels truly meaningful, fulfilling, and rewarding, and authentic. Which one is more worth it for you?
Mm-hmm.
You have to connect with that. You have to connect with that why. And your desire to bring that to life has to outweigh, you know, the fear of the discomfort, the fear of losing out on whatever it is you think is holding you back in this moment, you know, the fear of stepping even outside of your comfort zone altogether, the fear of the risk. There's always going to be the risk. So
yeah, I think
no, go
just
ahead.
Just to jump in there, like, in terms of, you know, people being afraid, like, yeah, no shit, you're gonna be afraid.
Yeah,
you're going to be scared. And the fear is not a reason not to move forward. In fact, if you can learn to flip safety and risk in your mind, this really is like the entrepreneurial mindset.
Yeah.
It's where you understand that safety, security, comfort, the known, that it's like what Elena said, like, isn't walking that path riskier in the long run than taking a chance on yourself and going to feed in on your dreams? Like, right. The safest thing that you can do with this life that you've been given is give it your all.
Yeah.
And I think entrepreneurs are the people who really understand that. Like, yeah, it's going to feel scary. It's going to feel like, you ever like, Have you ever jumped off of like a really high jump? You know, some people can relate to this feeling, or any sort of feeling when, you know, you are about to do something that felt like kind of scary or kind of risky, and you like get to the edge of that jump and everything in your body is like, don't do this. Do not do this. Like, this is like, turn around, run away. Your body is just saying no, no, no. It's screaming for you to go back to safety. And then you're like, all right, right? Or if you're about to go into like really cold water or something, and you're like, okay, ready? Yeah. 3, 2, 1. And then you just do it. You override your own like self-preservation mechanisms. Yes. And on the other side of that, it's like fucking bliss. Excuse my language. I'm sorry. But it's like bliss. It's like insane. You're alive. And it's like just a super high. And that's what happens. That is what happens when you decide that you're going to walk with the fear. It's not going to be easy. And at times, like, trust me, it's going to drive you absolutely insane. But the one thing you'll always know is that you are living your life to the fullest. And the example that sets for the people around you is priceless.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. And to hear you guys say that, I told it in Guatemala, but I think I'm going to say it again. Like, we're here, at least I am breaking a lot of patterns in my family. And, you know, money, perception, and how to do things and how to live life. And, you know, I'm thinking like with my son. Like, you know, you're here hoping that you, at least I am hoping that he will have a bit of different mindset that I did, a different path. And to hear you guys, like, you're 26, 25, right?
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, okay. For me, and I think for all the girls in the event in Guatemala, and for people who are listening to this, it gives me great comfort to know that, you know, like a small glimpse of the future, you know, like, yeah, you're doing the right thing. And right. If my son gets to travel the world and follow his dreams and do what is passionate for him, and at the same time live a good life filled with luxurious trips and whatever. Yeah, I think me and other mompreneurs would be excited of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I want to thank you guys so much. I don't think we have time for the other questions, but maybe we can leave that for another conversation. Thank you so much for joining us, and everyone who's listening, thank you. Muchas gracias a todos por escucharnos, y de verdad que comparte este episodio con alguien que tú digas sí lo necesita escuchar. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so, so, so much.